I don't know if you're tuned in to social media or not, and maybe you found this out in the newspaper or something else, but there was breaking news this week in Dodge County. The local adult club in Juneau was closed down, and now it's going to be a Christian ministry. Bought the building and is going to do some ministry out of that place now to turn that place upside down. Now, if you were on social media, like I am, you might have decided to click on the comments to see how people had commented about this change in ownership. For those of you that are older like me, you've, or maybe just a few years past, I want to let you know that the America that you grew up in is no more. Many, many comments on there talked about how the adult club is way better than having a Christian ministry in your town. There's this idea out there in our culture today that Christianity is wrong and dangerous for people, more dangerous than an adult nightclub. That the church is an incredible source of trouble and hatred in the world. Like I said, we're not in the America that you grew up in anymore. When you grew up, the church was a respected institution. It was a moral standard, but in our culture today, no more. No more. But you know what? The Apostle Paul and the early Christians, they faced this too. And the Apostle Paul, he has some advice for the church. Number one is to have hope for the church. And number two, to rethink our attitudes. Rethink our attitudes. We know that there is a great need for the church today. And with Jesus, we're called to build up the church. So let's see what Paul has to say. We know that people desperately need to come in and join us. And we know that God will do the hard work through the power of the Holy Spirit to call people unto Himself, and it's our job to walk with them. So, let us pray, and then we're going to have our first reading for today. I've got this split up into four different sections. We're going to start off with Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 22 will be our first section today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 22. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your continued awesome and wonderful work that you do in us and in the church. And Lord, as we face more and more pressure in our society that, that the church is bad news. Lord, you've got some of us believing it. Well, I'm sorry, you don't have some of us believing it, but Satan has us believing those lies. So Lord, give us guidance. as we turn to your word here that you gave to Paul. And Lord, set us straight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 up to 22. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Hope for the church. Hope for the church is the first thing that we're going to look at here with these verses. And let's add this up, what Paul has to say. He begins with us as individuals. God works on us, each of us who have been called in the name of Jesus. And Paul reminds us here that it is powerful work that God does in our lives. Powerful work. I look at my own life, and God turned up in my life, and he made my hard heart soft. He worked powerfully in me. He turned me from darkness to light. And I was living in death, but now because of his powerful work in my life, I have that sweet, sweet saving grace and assurance that we have in Jesus, because he died on the cross for us. This is powerful work that God has done in me. And I know, because of your stories, that God has also done an incredible, powerful work in your lives too. So the first part here, we recognize by what Paul's saying here that God does an incredible work in us individually. Now, we're not just individuals out doing our own thing. That's not the picture that God has for us. He works powerfully in us in such a way that he brings us to assurance of eternal life, and he works in us in such a way that we end up coming together as the church. So together, God working in us, we form the church. And when we are united together in the church, God's glory is on full display. God works powerfully in us. We come together by his direction, and God's glory is revealed through us together as a group. His glory is on display. And then finally, the last picture, or the last couple of pictures that we have here in these first verses, is recognizing Jesus as the head of the church. We're not in charge. We recognize Jesus is. And this is God's plan. Powerfully working in us as individuals, us coming together as the church, and Jesus is our head for generations and generations and generations. It says here, forever and ever. That's what he has set up for us. He works powerfully in us. We come together. His glory is on display in the church. Jesus is our head. And this is to be the way for Christianity forever and ever, the church. We can have incredible hope in that. That the church is going to continue. The church is going to go on because it is God's eternal plan. And it's also a reminder for us that in the Christian life, we must prioritize the church. Church has this thing we do together needs to be a priority. And with the church as a priority in our lives, we want to see the church firing on all cylinders. We want to see the church ready for the next generation. We want to put aside our ideas and our programs for God's programs and ideas. The church, it will prevail. And the church is the future. It's God's future for Christianity. Now, this last while, there's been a big group of folks here at First who have been reading the book Scrappy Church together. And this is a solid reminder for us that God is not done with First. God's not done with First. And in the first chapter, there are several suggestions for churches like ours on things that we need to think about transitioning on. And they all have to do, I think, as I look at them, they have to do with the big thing that Paul addresses next. Number one, I talked about hope for the church, and here number two, our attitude. Our attitude. We do need to rethink our attitudes. So, let's go to the next section. I said there's going to be four different sections today. This is the second section. We're looking at Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. This is what happens right after what we just read. So this is how Paul continues the conversation to the Ephesians. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." All right, that's where we're going to stop for now before we continue reading on. We recognize here that Paul is in a bad spot. We recognize that Paul is in prison. We recognize that he is being persecuted. And I tell you what, if anybody has reason for a bad attitude, it's Paul. Paul has every reason for a bad attitude. But no, that will not do. Instead, he has an attitude of gratitude because of the wonderful work of Jesus. He's got an attitude of gratitude. And he says to us and to the Ephesians here, he says, live a life worthy of your calling. Live a life worthy of your calling. You are saved in a big way. Respond in a big way. As I went through the first chapter of Scrappy Church, there were a few different things that stuck out at me, and I'll talk about some of those here for just a second. It mentions in there that it's time to throw off excuses. We can have a lot of excuses in the church. It's time to stop complaining. That's another place that he goes. It's time to stop being afraid and discouraged. It's time to have hope for the church. If you've been living and not having hope in the church, it's time to have hope in the church. Instead of excuses and complaining, being afraid, discouraged, and having no hope, instead of those things, we're inspired by God to pursue. And I've got a couple of different things in here that we just talked about, right? We're instead inspired to pursue, like I said, number one, the power of God working in us. And number two, we're inspired to pursue God's glory on display in the church. Again, as I said before, this is an attitude thing. What is your attitude when it comes to the church? And maybe this question might be revealing for you. When it comes to first, how do you think about this? Are the best days for first yet to come? Or have they already passed? Are the best days yet to come? Or have they already passed? Again, it has to do with our attitude. And man, when I was a kid, my dad, he very often suggested something that needed to happen for me. In fact, I heard this so much, it was like a daily thing in my life. You know what my dad would tell me? My dad would tell me that I needed an attitude adjustment. I heard that so much, and you know what? I did need an attitude adjustment. And perhaps all of us here at First also need some attitude adjustments. Paul continues by telling us, be completely humble. Be completely humble. I don't know about you, but for me, I want to demand that my ideas in the church are the ones we go with. And I'd like to demand my way in the church too. There's a certain way that I like things in the church. There is a certain style that I would prefer when it comes to worship. I have preferences that I would like to see in the church. And I could make a list of pet projects that I'd like to see undertaken. And I could also make another list of pet peeves, things that bother me in the church too. But we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. It's not about what we want and how we want it. It's not about our ideas or our way or the way that we like things or our style or our preferences or our pet projects or pet peeves. We have to humble ourselves when it comes to the church. Paul continues by saying, be completely gentle. Be completely gentle. This means that you need to watch your words. Seriously. Our sharp tongues have cut others down many, many times. Well, why do we use sharp words? Well, very often it's because we want our way. We want our ideas, our styles, our preferences, our pet projects, our pet peeves to go our way. We want things to go our way. It's about self-centeredness, but we are called to be gentle with one another. Paul continues with another one. He says, be patient. Be patient. bearing with one another in love. You know what? We're all going to have to deal with annoying people. We're all going to have to deal with each other's minor faults. But these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be patient with them. So, Paul continues, make every effort, spare no expense with your humbleness and your gentleness and your patience. Spare no expense when it comes to anything in the church. And make every effort to have unity in the church. Every effort. Now, this unity, this isn't something that we have to create. It's already been done. It's already been done by Jesus. It's something that we have in Him. We have His peace together. We have eternal life together. We've been sent the Holy Spirit together. We are bound together by Him. So we don't have to create unity. We just have to live into it. The Corinthians had a problem that Paul had pointed out. He said, you know what? Some people follow Paul, others Apollos. Well, that's not unity. We should be done with cliques. We should be done with club mentality. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there's a game show out there. It's led by a fellow named Steve Harvey. I'm sure you maybe have it in mind right now. What's it called? Family Feud. Yes, Family Feud. It's a game show. It's not something for the church. Family Feud is a game show. It's not something we should be doing here. No family feuds. There should be no my ministry, your ministry. It should be our ministry. Rather than diving into all of these things, we should be united together in very important ways. We should be united together in the Word of God. We should be united together in core doctrines of the faith. We should be united together in our study of God's Word. And we should be united together in ministry. Like I said, firing on all cylinders. And it's not an us and a them kind of thing either. Paul here is talking about the universal church. All faithful, biblical Christians, all Jesus-following Christians, we are all together in this. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So there's no need for jealousy among churches or any of those kinds of things, because we're all in this together. We're all on mission together. Our mission, we're originating from this hill here, and other churches are originating from where they're at. But this is a together kind of thing. So no jealousy among churches either. So before we head on to the next section here, just a reminder, no more pushing through your agenda. No more playing church politics. No more excuses or complaining. It's time now for us to invest in the next generation, united together with Christ. All right, next section, this is verses 7 up to 13. Ephesians 4, 7 to 13. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We are together, united to Jesus. And Jesus is the one who is up in heaven right now. He's the one that came down to the earthly regions. He came down here to earth. God living among us, Emmanuel. That's what we proclaim at Christmas. And it's him that has given us all gifts to use so that we can be of service in his kingdom. I want to emphasize here, all. Jesus has given us all gifts to use to serve. And I want to let you know that I believe that our gifts change as time goes on. And maybe there was a gift that you put to use 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago that you're no longer able to use or do anymore, and that's okay because I believe that God continues to give you gifts so that you can serve today, right now. And for those of you that aren't sure about what your gifts might be, there's only really one way that I know of to figure it out. How do you figure out how you're gifted in the church? How you can serve? It's by doing it. It's by saying yes. It's by giving it a try. It's, not being worried about failing, but trying out new stuff. You know, there was a day when somebody asked my wife and I if we would be willing to lead a small group of young people. We were a young married couple, and they wanted to have a group of young people. They asked us to lead that group. Had we ever led a group before? No. Did we know what we were doing? No. Were we I don't know. Yes, we were like that. It's how you grow. It's how you move into gifts. And sometimes you try things out and you know what? It doesn't work out, and that's okay. We have to be willing to try new things. You know, maybe there's something that God has in mind for you to try. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been talking to you for a while. Hey, you should lead a group. Hey, you should be part of this. Oh, hey, you should do that. Well, I don't know if this is a gift or will develop into one or not, but you know what I've been trying out lately? Any ideas? I've been trying the piano, and I tell you what, I've had a lot of fun with it. Now, I don't know if I can do this in front of people, but I want to encourage you that it's okay to fail. All right? So, let's see if I can... Whew, this is scary. All right. Oh, man, my hands might be shaking here. You ready? All right. Whew, I got through a little bit, right? Okay. Thank you. we go. Like I said, you have to be able to put yourself out there and try some new things, right? In case you're wondering, well, when I had COVID in November, I was super bored. And I just started getting into digital music on my computer. And then I thought, you know what, maybe I should learn how to play some chords so that I could, you know, record a few chords and then use that in my digital music. And then I ended up buying a keyboard. And I have a little setup in my house, and I sit down just about every day for 15 minutes, a half an hour, continuing to plunk things out, and I've been going through a book, too. Who knows what God has in store for all of you when it comes to his gifts? Each Christian is a vital part of the church. And to put this into perspective, earthly kings, what do? They take treasure. But what about King Jesus? King Jesus gives treasure. He gives us gifts to use for his kingdom. You can ask yourself today, right now, not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, not 30 years ago, but right now, what are your God-given assignments from our King Jesus? What are your God-given assignments? He's given us gifts to use. Every one of us has an assignment from him. And for those of you that have small children at home, one of your assignments is certainly your children. For those of you that have spouses, certainly one of your assignments is your spouse. And when it comes to the church, we all have assignments too. What is your assignment? Now, Paul here, he mentions a few of the gifts in this passage, and I think he lists these for a particular reason here. Not that we're all going to have one of the ones listed here, but he mentions all of the leadership gifts on purpose here. And he says that these leaders, the ones with the leadership gifts, it's their responsibility to prepare and build up the church for works of service. So, I guess as a pastor, and as we think about the elder board, as we think about the deacon board, and as we think about our teams and our team leadership, how can we prepare you and build you up to help you mature in your gifts? Maybe there's something that you feel like you've been called to for a while, and you're not sure how to get started. Maybe there's some training that you need in small group leadership, or whatever it might be, and there's something that we can do to help with that. Come and talk to us. Let us know. What are you missing right now, and what do you need from us, and how can we encourage you? There's something that I encountered this week that I think is important. A couple different things here. Think about this. God has given us, as a church, as First, all the resources we need to do what he is calling us to do. Right? If God has a plan for us, he has given us all of the resources we need to do what he is calling us to do. And maybe for you, you're thinking, you know, I'm too busy to get started with anything. If it's God's plan for you, remember that God has given all of us enough time to do everything that he has called us to do too. Jesus has graciously and sovereignly given us all gifts. And if we are going to build up the church, we need to drop our attitudes, and we all need to work together so that we can attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure. All right, last section. This is 14 up to 16. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When we are firing on all cylinders, when we are growing together in humbleness and gentleness and patience, in love, in unity, in the Word, we will mature together. And when we mature together, you know what's going to happen? The body of Christ will grow. The body of Christ will grow. And we will no longer be tossed back and forth. Instead, we're going to be built up. Now, I'll leave you with some final questions here. What pet projects will you be willing to lay aside? What preferences do you have that you're willing to give up? What can you do to build up others? Is there some maturing that needs to take place in your life? What gifts do you need to use? What are your God-given assignments? And how can we come together and move forward? Let us pray. Gracious God, as the video reminded us, Easter is over, but our work with you as our head has really just begun. Lord, guide us and show us your ideas and your ways. And Lord, help us to put aside our ideas and our ways so that we can follow what you have in store for First Church here in the future. Lord, help us to drop our attitudes. And Lord, if there are gifts that you'd like us to pursue, give us guidance through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.